We're now going to hear from God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's listen attentively.
Good morning. This is page 964 in your pew Bibles. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm just going to welcome, it's like a wee walk up, welcome Archbishop Greg up. I'm just going to pray with you before you speak. Yet, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this privilege and blessing that it is to have Bishop Greg and Sylvia with us this morning, Lord. I just thank you for the safe travels that you have been with them to bring them here with us, Lord. And we pray for safe travels for the rest of the week. I just pray this morning that you will use Greg as your vessel, Lord. Just use him as you want him to be used this morning, Lord. You will anoint him with the words that you want to be spoken, Lord. I just pray for us as a congregation that we will have open hearts and open ears and just be so acceptable to everything that you want us to hear this morning, Lord, that our hearts will be receiving and that we will act upon those words as well. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Good morning. Will you just have the Bibles open, please, at page 964? The second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, 9:64. And will you just have it open in front of you? Don't lose track of that. I want to share today with what is probably, if not the greatest problem, one of the greatest problems we face. And it's anxiety. I've got ex-pupils, a couple of them are top psychiatrists, and they have told me that anxiety is probably the most common condition that people are suffering from. For some reason, we're living at a time in history when we know more than ever we knew, we've got more access to communication and all the rest of it. And it isn't just that people are anxious, it is that they suffer from a general anxiety. It means that all the time there is an undercurrent of anxiety. Now, if you think about it, that is almost the total opposite of being a Christian. And yet, it is what Satan is using to keep many Christians out of what they should be doing. Because you cannot get on with being what we should be if you're filled with anxiety. As you know, the word itself means being throttled. And so how can we actually be what we should be as Christians and not live in a condition which stops us being what we should be? Now, of course, the big error, and this unfortunately has almost grown in recent decades in world Christianity, is that if you're following God faithfully, and if you have enough faith, you won't have any problems, and if you have a problem, it will solve quickly. That's what people believe, and some people even teach it. You've heard, of course, of the prosperity gospel. It's very, very popular in the States and South America. And basically, the message is, wrongly, if you are right with God, and if there's a problem, it will just get solved. I've had to minister to people dying, wonderful born-again Christians, but who are dying miserably because they think they just haven't had the faith to get healed. Now, God does heal. I've seen miracles. God does heal. But sometimes people die. And if you think about the history of the church, this idea that if you're a Christian, everything's going to be really wonderful and you'll never have a problem, and if you do have a problem, it will get solved, it's completely denied by the last 2,000 years of the history of the church, beginning with Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God. He loved and trusted his Father. He never sinned. And look what he had to suffer. And yet he suffered trusting his Father. He said once, if it's possible for this cup to pass from me, let it go. But if not, you remember, your will be done. Then look at the Apostle Paul. Now I want you just to keep one finger in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and just skip forward with your other finger to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Will you turn on there? Okay, this is, sometimes I read this when I'm preparing people for ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He's talking about people who criticize him. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Do you want to serve God? There is a man who was called to serve, and he served. Don't come to me and say it's difficult. There's what it means to serve God. And I want you just being with us together this morning in the presence of God to ask yourself, what is the real foundation of your relationship with God? Is it that? Have you said, yes, and I'll face whatever? Or is God just for you a way of feeling a bit better? Of getting a little bit of encouragement when you need it and of helping you? This is the problem with the church in the 21st century. We've created a form of Christianity which is all about me and me feeling better. You know, the last time the Beatles recorded together, John wasn't there, but John, Paul and George recorded January 1970, some of you will remember it, the track they recorded, I, Me, Mine. And that, unfortunately, is where 21st century Christianity has gone. It's all about me. And we don't even realize it. Now, go back to chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. This servant of God, this slave of God, in the middle of all these terrible problems he's facing, and remember later on he wrote to the Philippians, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. It's possible. But you have to follow through what he has done. Read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to get free of anxiety, go to God. Leave yourself behind. Get to the end of yourself and go to God. And look at God. And say thank you to God. Some of the most important moments in my life have been when I've gone on my knees and said thank you to God for things that were breaking my heart. Why? Not because I'm glad there are things that are breaking my heart, but because I know Him and I can trust Him. Are you with me? But you can only trust somebody when you know them. And you can only know God through His Word and through His Son, Jesus Christ. So how's your relationship with the Word of God? And how's your relationship with Jesus? Those are the two key things. And then he goes on to say, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. First of all, don't drown in self-pity. Don't sit feeling sorry for yourself. Look at Him and get soaked into who He is. Concentrate on Him. And then go to somebody else and help somebody else. You know, the best way to stop worrying about yourself is to go and do something for someone else. I can't tell you the number of times I've had to go and deal with somebody else's problems, and I come away blessed, and I realize how full of self-pity I was. My bishop, the bishop who prepared me and ordained me, when he was a curate, was in a church, I think in the south of England. And he said one day the vicar was talking to a lady who was going on and on and on about her problems. And while she was going on, the vicar took out his handkerchief and covered his face with it. And then after a little bit, the lady said, "Excuse me, Reverend, but have you got a cold?" He said, "No, it's just that there's a nasty smell of self-pity around here." Don't do it. Don't do it. Look at Him and then go and help somebody else. If you're feeling particularly worried about something, don't sit drowning in your own anxiety. Go and do something for someone else. This is practical. I don't have to give you a lecture in theology. This is practical Christianity. So say thank you to God for whatever it is that you're worried about. And say thank you. I'm not happy, but thank you that you're in control. And then go and find somebody else and do something for somebody else. Bless you for what you're going to do on the 3rd of December. That's great. We know somebody who was converted by a bread pudding. Because the lady, when this person was going through a problem, cooked a bread pudding and put it on his doorstep. And he said, "I want to find out what makes a person tick that they cook me a bread pudding." He became a Christian. Be with someone else. And then jump down to verse 8. We don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. Problems are real. And if you want to serve God, you will have problems. You'll have opposition. Maybe your family will turn against you. When Sylvia became a Christian, many people in her family just turned off. Her dad said, "I preferred you before." People don't love it when you become a Christian. That's why it's so hard to talk about Christianity. Because the human heart is set against God. The human heart isn't naturally Christian. By human nature, it's anti-Christian. That's why we have to be able to stand and love people and just share God's love. But then see what he says. And then compare this with where you have been or where you are. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we, do you see the word? Despaired of life itself. Who's talking? Mm. A servant of God. You worried about something? Join the club. If you want to serve God, it will not be easy. Listen, and hold this in your head, because this is would have been an answer also to what Fanta asked earlier. Serving Christ long term is blood, sweat, and tears, and glory. Mm. You got that? Blood, sweat, tears, and glory. And in the glory, everything else is secondary. You say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because I'm in his presence and I know his love. Indeed, he says, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Listen to me. Anything that makes you trust God is a blessing. Anything that takes you to God so that you trust him and not your money and not your health and not whatever you think you can do. Because at the end of the day, we will only trust God when we've got no option. There is something in sinful human nature that will not trust God unless there's no other option. Do you remember that great ruler in the Old Testament in Daniel who set up a golden statue and said, everybody's going to kneel down to the statue and worship? And there were three lads called. Thank you, Sylvia. Yeah, I knew you'd tell me. And they said, you can throw us in the fiery furnace if you like, but we're not going to bow down to your God. That's the Christian in the 21st century. Hmm. I'm not going to bow down to that God. With a smile. Our God can save us. Anybody here remember the next phrase? Our God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. Mm. Want to go on being a Christian? Even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. And they threw them in the fiery furnace. And you know what the text tells us? That they looked in and they were still alive. And the guy looks in and he says, didn't we throw three men into that furnace? There are four in there. Do you know what? Jesus was with them in the furnace. And sometimes, and it's not unusual, you have to get to the very end of everything to find that he's there with you already. Because otherwise, you're just full of so much. It's when he empties you that you find he's there. Do you know what was burnt in the fiery furnace? Their bonds. Maybe what you're going through at the moment is God's way of freeing you. Maybe what you're having to face at the moment and that you're thinking, why doesn't God do something, is because God is doing something already. Mm. Now, I can go on all day, but I know we're in Ireland, so even in Ireland, there is a time limit on this. So I'm going to say a prayer in a minute and invite you to really lay this before God. But I want to tell you a little story before I finish, a personal one that maybe you'll be able to remember and take with you. When I was young, I went on a summer school, and the bus taking us back was going to drop us at Victoria Coach Station in London, and then I was going to get the tube, and then from the tube get the main line, and then get home. And as the bus got us near to London, I got more and more anxious. What's going to happen in London? Will I make a mistake? Will I get on the wrong tube? Will I get on the wrong train? Will somebody rob me? Will I lose my money? And by the time the bus was pulling into Victoria bus station, I was a mess. And as the bus pulled in, I saw my dad waiting by the entrance. and my fears evaporated. Okay? God is there with you. Now, and he wants you to rely on him, not anything else or anyone else. And believe me, if you're relying on anything else or anyone else, he will bring everything to bear on that until you let go of whatever it is and say, no, I'm going to trust you and only you. Mm. That is the answer to anxiety. Not some magic prayer that I can say now, because the answer is in your relationship with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you don't only call us to know you, to be forgiven, to be reconciled to you, and to be born again. We thank you too that you call us to be transformed in our thinking and to live as light and salt in this world. And we confess our anxiety. We confess that so often we dishonor you by worrying unnecessarily. And yet it is real when we're worried. So we pray, Lord, that we might learn from your apostle Paul, that we might put you first and our relationship with you first, that we might give time to other people instead of just worrying about ourselves, and that we might rely on you more than anything else. And we thank you that you're never going to abandon us, but that you're going to be with us in the coming days. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me just say very quickly, if there's an opportunity to pray, it's sometimes good to share something like that with someone else and say, will you pray with me? It's a kind of honesty. So if that would help before the service finishes or whenever it's the convenient moment, to just say a prayer with someone, look, I'm suffering, as Greg was saying, from this, and I do need to be able to get this right, and pray with them. It's that humbling of yourself that sometimes helps to put things right. There's not a magic answer. The answer is in God through Jesus and his word. But praying about it with someone is a great help sometimes, because you're being honest and the person is helping you and praying with you. Okay? Well, thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you so, so much. And what clarity, and what a wonderful passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to sing one song now before the final blessing, The Splendor of the King Clothed in Majesty. But just before we do, I really believe God is speaking to someone this morning. And you will remember in that interview, Greg shared about how he came to faith, and he found that little bit of paper just blew across his path on that railway platform with that one question: what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? And I just believe there's somebody here, and you know that question is the big, big question for you. You've been putting it off and putting it off, but today is the day. The day to step out in faith and do what Greg has just been talking about, trust. It's as simple and as deep as that, just to trust the Lord for now and for eternity. So if you know that's you, please come forward. Greg spoke about self-pity. Maybe some of us have been wrestling with a lot of self-pity. Greg spoke about maybe going out and doing something for somebody. Somebody coming to the Lord through an act of kindness, bread and butter pudding. Maybe the Lord is prompting us to go and just show kindness to somebody. Go and see somebody. Go and do something in the name of Jesus, so that we're not just thinking about ourselves all the time. Maybe some of us have been wrestling just with the whole issue of God. Does God really love me? I can understand why he could love somebody else, but I'm not sure he could really love me. Might be good to have prayer about that. Or maybe for some of us, it's just the whole area of trusting. We've trusted somebody in the past and they've let us down. And we're so cautious about trusting anybody. But please hear what Greg is saying. God can be trusted. And he does not let us down. And he keeps his promises, every single one of them. So if you know that God has just been speaking to you, there's something going on, I really invite you to come forward for prayer. The prayer ministry team will be here as we begin singing this song. They will come forward and just stand here at the front. And This is a day of opportunity. The Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He is near us this morning, big time. Let's call upon him, trust him, step out in faith for the more that he has for each one of us.